Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
To hell and back is in the job description. Being roughed up, scuffed up, run over, kicked, thrown, dropped, dunked, and done the unthinkable is a duty we've embraced for more than 40 years. Through superior engineering and constant innovation, only Pelican has conquered the chaos a life of ambition can dish out. And we've done it to empower you.
Yak Gadget, made in America, based outside of Nashville, Tennessee. Yak Gadget offers all kinds of storage accessories, quick mount motor mounts, anchor systems, track mounted accessories, even paddles. Go to yakgadget.com and get your kayak decked out for your next trip out on the water.
The 153 Bait Company, based in Troy, Ohio, make everything from plastics to custom painted hard baits. Hook them hard and hook them off. All of our baits are made to order and all of our hard baits are hand painted to order. So go to the153anglers.com to place your order today.
All right, everybody, welcome to another episode of the Mindset segment on the Paddle and Fin Network. Today, my special guest is Titus Dominguez, who not that long ago took first place and so far had a great year. He had a second place, a first place, just got off the water from practicing for his third tournament. How are you doing today, Titus?
Hey, what's going on, Chris? Thanks for having me on the podcast, man. I'm doing good. Been having a, like you said, having a fun season. So it's fun to cast the checks.
Yeah.
My first win, man. First time ever. So that was fun.
Yeah, I know that. I'm waiting on that still too. But it'll come.
I know, man. It took me a while. So hopefully it didn't take you that long. You can do that in yours real quick.
Yeah. So for people who don't know about you, which they should. But just tell them about yourself. Well, you're heavily involved in the trail series and everything, so people who watch this probably have heard about you.
I'm around, man. I'm around. I know some people. I've been for about 7 years now, I think. It's been a long time. So, like I said, I've helped out with the Paddle and Fin series, helping get that rolling. And then I've been on the staff for the KBL Kayak Bass League here in Illinois for the last 6 years doing that. So been good, you know, just been that's kind of who I am, what I do, you know. Fish tournaments here and there. You know, a lot of times I'm at the Paddle and Fin helping doing the follow boats and filming guys. That's always fun too.
Yeah, I've definitely seen you out there.
Oh yeah, I'm around. Like I said, definitely in the community, in the scene.
Oh yeah.
I don't know if I'm anybody that you should be knowing about, but I'm definitely around.
Yeah. So what I wanted to get into today is more the mindset of when you kind of had your victory. I've been wanting to get you on, it just hasn't worked in the schedule, but a little late on it. It's been a busy couple months,
man. Yeah, man. I've been checking out your show, just kind of getting the feel for your vibe. Yeah. It's been good. I really like it. So, and I when you reached out to me about doing this, I told you I really actually do like talking about all the mindset stuff and going into it. You know, for that tournament was definitely a surprise, to be honest. So we can kind of start there if you want.
Yeah. How was practice for you? Or did you even get to practice?
I'm not sure. I did get to practice. Practice for me was slow. It was really slow. So I usually fish with Susie Roloff. She's, you know, part of the Paddle and Fin thing.
Yep. Uh-oh. He froze up on us.
I'm a back.
Hold on, Tyz.
I'm hanging on.
I believe you. Yeah, I believe you're back now.
All right, so where was I at? Was I the last thing you you heard?
That you fished with Susie.
Yeah, so I fished with Susie most of the time. It's her home lake. So I was staying at her place, kind of fishing some of her areas. And she was on a pretty good bite the day before. I was finding some stuff here and there, but not a lot. I think I only had two bass. I think I only had two bass that day and then a couple of taps. But I had some ideas of where I wanted to go. And the morning of the tournament, I was, got out to my spot, realized I had left my wristband identifier in the car, had to pack everything up and just paddle back to the car and get that wristband. So I was on the water a little bit late. The first half hour was real slow. And then I was kind of moving around some different areas, trying to find something. And I got a couple of bumps on a wacky rig, and that was enough. Like, that's what I had caught my fish on the day before. And those two bumps just kind of like locked me in as far as what I was going to do the rest of the day. I was like, all right, I'm just going to do this the rest of the day, and hopefully I can find five fish. So I get to this, to like a kind of a pond area that was in the back kind of like a marshy area of the of Banner Marsh. And I just kind of was doing circles. It was like a weed edge, about 15, 20 feet, and I was kind of frame, and I got bit pretty quickly fishing that. Caught, I think I ended up catching four in that area, probably in about an hour and a half, all decent size, between 15 and 17. So I was pretty excited about that. I knew I needed a fifth one. And I was, me and this another guy were in there, and we were kind of just doing circles around each other. So, and I had seen him catch a fish, and I kind of was figuring, I'm like, either we're just going to be, jumping, leapfrogging each other all day, or I'm gonna have to try to find a fifth fish. So I decided to make a run. I had caught one on the main lake the day before, so that's what I was gonna do. But I had seen this similar pond a little bit farther down, and so where I was at, it was quicker to go there than go to the main lake. Like, if I was gonna do it, it was gonna be right then. I said, all right, let me check this out real quick before I go to the main lake. Went back there, first cast in, I got hit, and it popped off, threw right back in the same spot. And caught my fifth fish, and then threw right back in again after I had, took the photo, measured it, everything, and got an upgrade. And then that basically the next 2 hours at that pond, and it was just on fire.
Nice.
A day like that, and I think everybody talks about, having that spot where it's just on fire and you're catching fish left and right. And that was kind of what happened. I caught a 19 in there. And then I ended up catching another 19 in there. And that was when I knew I was kind of in good shape. And I spent, a good couple hours in there till the bite slowed down. And I basically had thought I had done everything I could possibly do. But a guy in our club, I don't know if you know him, Patrick Pootie Tharp, he's real good, big stick. So he was... he's the guy that beat me in the first tournament when I took second place. And in that tournament, he had said that he had gotten a late upgrade, like at 1:30. And that's like what ended up sealing his win there at Newton Lake. So I was like, I told myself I had never had that and never had a late upgrade on a good thing. So I said, all right, I'm just gonna keep grinding. I'm gonna try to find one more, tried out one more spot. And sure enough, caught like a 17 3/4, and I ended up winning by a quarter of an inch. So that fish was, was it. And I think I caught it like at 1:30. So, and nice. Lines out was 2:00. So yeah, barely snuck it in there, man.
Yeah. So what was kind of the mindset going into that tournament, as far as what was your kind of like thought process going into it before practice? And did you feel like you had a chance to win, or was it kind of just go there, have fun?
So I think like something I've been doing this season, and definitely kind of going into the more like the mindset part of it, I've just tried to be a little more relaxed on tournament day. Like, so something happened at both of the events, this at the Banner Marsh one, like leaving my wristband in the car, right? Normally that would have kind of like threw me off, like not being able to fish the first 20 minutes of the tournament. Yeah, that would have sucked. Like, and even in my back of my head, I was like, oh, that's not a great start, man. But instead of kind of like letting it bother me, I just, try to be relaxed about it. Say, all right, you know, a lot of time. And just mostly, I think the one thing I really took away from that, the banner tournament, was sort of using pre-fishing to, like, I call it like building the bite to, I want to be where I've really figured it out about the middle of the day on tournament day. So that's something that I've been really trying to do, is not necessarily, you know, get on them in practice, more just see some areas, try to find a few bites that'll kind of give me an idea where they're going to be, and then go, all right, let's figure it out on tournament day. Okay. So and that's kind of something similar I've done. I did today at practice at Puckaway. I found a couple of bites, you know, nothing crazy, but, you know, some solid bites, you know, in a decent area. And it's an area I know I can fish. Like, I know it's going to be something that's in my wheelhouse, something that's in my comfort zone. So I'll be confident tomorrow that, you know, hopefully I can get five, but it's still going to be up to, you know, up to the fish, but I'm not going to like sweat it. You know what I mean? I'm not going to be too concerned about it.
Yeah.
And hopefully it just works out.
So basically you kind of changed everything about what you do from previous years in this year.
I've changed a lot of things. So last year I've been trying to win a tournament for, 7 years. I mean, I've been trying to win. And
always trying to win.
But it really wasn't until the 2019 season. So the 2019 season, I had a second place finish where I lost by a quarter inch. And then, and our championship is a 2-day event. I was first place after day one. And then day two was, I only caught 3 fish and it didn't work out. But that was when I felt like, all right, if I have the right day, I can catch these guys and I can win a tournament. You know what I mean? Like, I know I'm not going to be in contention every single time, you know, just depending on the lake. If it's something I can figure out, great. If it's not something that's in my, you know, comfort zone, I'm probably not going to finish well. But I knew, like, you know, since then, it's just because I was so close twice, I felt like, all right, man, one of these times I'm just going to break through. So going into the 2020 season, I was really like, all right, I was really focused on that season about trying to win a tournament. That was my big goal going in. And I struggled a lot in 2020. I mean, there was a lot of weird. So, you know, we did a couple of online events when we weren't supposed to. Some of the live events were a little bit different because we weren't doing stuff like in person and everything like that. So we had mixed them up. But I think I had like a fourth place finish in 2020. And then, but I had some really bad tournaments in 2020. And it was coming off of like a really good, like for me, a really strong season. So like I should probably quickly just say, like, I started off kayak fishing with zero tournament experience. So I had never fished a tournament before. I was like a one rod, you know, one little tackle box kind of guy. And the learning curve was pretty steep. So, you know, the first couple of years I was just going out there, getting blank, donating my money. And, you know, it took a while to start getting like, all right, I was catching fish in tournaments. That started to happen year two, year three, you know, year three and year four, I was starting to, all right, limit pretty consistently, or at least every other tournament I was getting limits. And, you know, so it just took me a while to build up the experience and everything like that to really feel like, all right, now I can start really trying to win events. And, like I said, in 2020, I was losing a lot. I was having a lot of, hard tournaments, and I was getting real frustrated and thinking like, if I just fish harder, or, you know, got mad about things, that I was going to do better. And it wasn't the way to do it. So kind of coming into this season, I kind of set all that, you know, trying to take that out of my head. You know, like you said, the mindset, just, all right, just relax, go out there, have fun, let's try to fish, see what we can do. You know, you can fish good when you're not under pressure. So let's see what happens, you know. And this year is working out, which is great. So,
yeah, I mean, it's always funny how when we go on a practice day or just go out for fun, we can find them. For some reason, as soon as that tournament clock starts, it becomes the 5 hardest fish to catch ever.
Yeah, no, and I was just letting it get to me, man. It was really weird. Yeah. So I fished. We did an online event, and I went with a buddy. So like a buddy that wasn't in the tournament. He was just, so it was we're going to Eagle Lake, Wisconsin, and it's a nice pike lake. So I, you know, my buddy's a pike guy. I said, hey, come on, I'll fish the tournament. and you can get your bike. And like, dude, it's so big. I barely put up a lot of inches before, you know, in tournaments. So this was in that on Eagle Lake. I believe like the guy that was in first place was fairly, it wasn't low, but it was like something I felt was obtainable. It was like low 80s. So I was like, oh, you know, I could maybe get that. And so I went up to Eagle, like determined I was going to go ahead and grind these guys out. It's a lake I'm familiar with. I felt like I could do something there. And I absolutely skunked. I did not catch a single bass. The water was chocolate milk. It was brutal. And I was really pissed. And my buddy could tell. And he's like, he even told me like throughout the, it was right in the middle of the day. He goes, dude, why do you do this? And I go, why? What are you talking about? He's like, you're not even having fun. I'm like, yeah, I know, man. These aren't really fun sometimes. And, you know, when I'm losing, and I was explaining all this to him. I was like, dude, you know, the guy that's in first, I feel like I can catch him. I know this lake. I don't know why I'm not catching anything. And he's like, yeah, because you're fishing so fast. You're not fishing, you know, in any way that looks like you're going to catch fish. Like you're just slinging your bait around. You're not doing everything because you're not talking. You're just mad. And then, so he kind of has that conversation with me. I realized what was going on. I'm like, man, I'm ignoring my friend here. We're supposed to be having fun and a good day. And I'm up here being a jerk. So we ended up, I kind of gave up. All right, try to find some pike, man. And we ended up having the best pike day I've ever had. I think we caught, and it was about an hour. We hooked like 20 pike and ended up landing like 15 of them. And it was just a blast. He had never caught pike that size, and he was having a great time, and I was having a great time catching these fish. And it kind of just reminded me of like, hey man, it's just still fun, even though, you know, you're trying to fish a tournament and all this stuff. So looking back at that last year, going into this year, that's kind of what my mindset was going in. Like, all right, let's just have a little more fun. Remember why you're out there, and then, you know, let the fishing come to you and not try to force it. 'Cause that's what I was doing. I was really trying to force it.
Well, yeah, there's plenty of times where I've been out there. Either you're trying to force a bait or you're trying to force a pattern. Mm-hmm. Or it hurts more when you're on a lake that you fish all the time versus some like that you've never been to before.
Yeah.
I find them way easier on lakes that I've never been to because I just go in with the mindset of I'm just here to catch fish. I don't really care how it happens or where it happens. I just want to catch fish. So,
yeah. And I think that was the thing. I was really struggling with that. And I thought that if I just, I don't know, like if I was going to grind them out, like that was going to be the secret. And instead of like just letting the, you know, like I say like, let the fish tell you what they want. Like, you know, that's what I do. And I just kind of, and this year that's what I've been doing. I'm like, all right, what are they hitting on? And then don't run away from it. Don't, that's kind of the thing with the wacky rig. Like that was the only thing I was getting bit that day. And I had heard of a couple other bites that people had been telling me, you know, like the ramp talk, everything. Like, oh yeah, get this on this. And like one technique in particular that Susie was doing, I tried it. Did you lose me again? I tried it and.
Good, but you're fine. I can still hear you good.
All right, good. I tried it and I couldn't like physically do it. Like it was like pitching into the reeds and stuff like that. I kept backlashing and stuff like, and all that. And I think in the past I would have forced that. I would have tried to like, oh, this is the pattern I need to do. And instead I'm like, all right, I can't do this, man. If I can maybe find a fish on it at some point, yeah, it's in the back of my mind. I know it, but like, I'm not good enough to do it. So I gotta do something that I'm comfortable with and that I know that I can do. And that's what I've been doing a lot in tournaments. I try to get a lot of my experimenting out of the way on pre-fishing days. And then on the actual day, I'm like, all right, I know what I'm going with. Let's just do that all day and not really stray too far from that.
Yeah, I try not to care about what other people are throwing.
Yeah. It's hard. I mean, it's hard not to do. But
it's hard.
What I like to do is... No, go ahead.
It's definitely hard not to, especially when a lot of like the league you're fishing in and then the paddle and fin league, the tournaments I do, a lot of these people are your friends or you know them from somewhere.
Yeah.
And that's when you guys get together, that's all we want to do is talk fishing and what we're catching them on and everything else. And that plays a role into it. But at the end of the day, you know, a lot of these tournaments, I just went back to what I knew how to do versus what everybody else was doing. I kind of just let it go and did my thing. And that's how I've been just kind of coasting through the season.
Yeah, no, and that's what you got to do sometimes. So at Newton, the first tournament of the year where I got second, I had been talking to my buddies, shout out to him, man. He's a cool guy. He fishes the Southern Illinois kayak stuff, and he had given me a spot. He's like, hey, man, I was there 2 weeks ago. Spot was pretty good. Check it out. I go there pre-fishing. I got two bites. So my game plan was in a bit of a haul, and I shot up there first thing in the morning. There's a boat right on it, man, just sitting right on it. And I go there, I just kind of work the other side of it, and I didn't catch anything on it, and basically was another situation where I wasted the first hour of the day, where I wasted like 20 minutes up there, 20 minutes fishing it, and then 20 minutes to get back. And all right, what am I going to do now, man? I was hoping to get two or three here. And the day before, they had a boat tournament, and we were all at the ramp and watching them like weigh in the bass, and they were all releasing them right there. So we were all joking like, hey, let's go to the ramp and just fish the ramp. So it was on my way back to another spot I had found. That spot he had given me, I found a similar spot to it. So I was like, all right, well, let me go back to this other similar spot, see if anything's there. On the way there, let me see if let me just stop at the boat ramp, man. Let's keep it simple. They just released a bunch of fish here. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, I caught a 19 3/4 first cast in at the boat ramp. And then I caught another 15 incher, I think, right after that. So then, right away, my morning was kind of saved. They had two fish real quick. And then I went to my other spot and ended up, finding the other three and then finding a couple of upgrades later. But that was it, but if I don't have that, make that quick little decision of, hey, let's just keep it simple. Let's not overthink this and try something out, and kind of get lucky basically, then that sets my day off.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, a lot of that on the water decisions during the tournament is kind of what makes you or breaks you at times. And that's where the mindset of it really, really comes into play. Everyone goes in wanting to win, and then you get on that water. It could just be some change with the weather, and that could really mess with people's heads. But it seems like you kind of went in with the fish the moment mindset of things this year, and it's kind of really worked out for you.
So far it has. It's working so far, man. We'll see what happens, but I still, I just try to be pretty relaxed about it. And that's, I've gotten a lot more comfortable doing tournaments now. I've done a lot at this point. I used to get real nervous and stuff before them, and I kind of got like a good rhythm about, even getting my photos of my fish. And I just kind of Pootie was saying something when he was talking. We were talking about the champion, the last tournament. He was just like, "I fish clean, and it's all I can do." And that's kind of I like that little thing he said. He's like, "Fish clean." It's just that's so I took mm-hmm. I kind of stole that from him. Thanks, Pootie. So I just I steal things from guys all the time, man. If you got a good idea, I'll take it. So I just that's kind of the mindset going in. Like I'm just gonna fish clean. I'm just gonna try to land on my fish, try not to miss any bites, get the photos, don't let them flop off. And then, and then the rest, it's just up to the fish, man. If I hook an 18, great. If I hook 14s all day, then that's that, it's nothing I can do about it as long as I'm doing what I can do to try to win.
Yeah. I mean, that's similar to Wisconsin where, When we were there for the paddle and fin event, I literally had one bass for that event. Going 2 days of practice, I caught one fish that whole time. And I just kind of pulled up to the boat ramp, completely new spot, never fished it, didn't fish it in practice. and kind of just smile in my face like, hey, we're just going to figure this out.
Yeah.
You know? And ended up, I didn't win the tournament, but I ended up saving points for Angler of the Year, which I was happy about.
That's good. You know, it's, I mean, sometimes that's what you got to do. You just got to like play defense almost. Like, I just got to not get skunked here. You know what I mean? I got to do something. And I like what you were saying of just, I'm going to figure it out. I think that's something I got way more comfortable about. Like I used to get in my head, like if I didn't have five fish by like 8 or 9 o'clock, I was like coming unglued and trying every, you know, every lure in my box. And now I'm like, also, and your first podcast, I think Brian was bringing it up. I want to tell Brian, that's for me, man. The 5 good minutes thing, that's me. Yeah. I made that up. I don't know if I made it up, but I said it. But that's what I like. It's weird. You have to like remember that. Like it really, five fish is not. It doesn't take long, you know. And like even at Banner, I caught that upgrade at 1:30, but I caught two other fish in there. So like I caught three fish at 1:30. On the tournament. So if I had had two fish, I would have had my limit there, you know, at 1:30. So it's like you can go all day not getting a bite, and then it could just pop off for you and you're good. And it's like as long as you kind of just keep grinding, keep trying to figure out what's happening and where they're at or what they want, you know, at some point you're going to break through, because really, you know, you don't need a lot of time, man. You just need to kind of, but as long as you're not overthinking it and not, that's one other thing I've learned, and a tip that I would give people, man, is learn how to grind. Because there's, I think, I used to grind in the wrong way, and the wrong way to me is just throwing everything and anything, and or like throwing stuff that you really don't think is going to work, but you're like, I want to try something, you know what I mean? And sometimes that works, and sometimes it doesn't. But to me, like a grinded out situation is where I go, look, I know I'm going to get bit on this. It just might take me all day to get five fish on this. But if I can find out exactly where they are or exactly how they want it, that's going to work. I know it will, but I just, you know, I have to keep focused on it. And like, I think the last year, 2020, the championship is how I learned this lesson. Day one, it's a 2-day tournament again, championship. And I don't love 2-day tournaments. They're very hard for me. so the first day, we had found a good spot on a bridge. And we had caught some fish, and I get there in the morning. I got two pretty quickly, and I was like, all right, I'm going to grind it out here on the bridge, right? The thing was, there wasn't throwing baits at nothing. And I ended up with three fish that day. It was another thing where I, you know, was coming back to the launch. I was just pissed, beat myself up. Like, what did I, you know, I should have done this. I should have done that. And it was, I was fishing scared. Like one, I didn't want, I thought like I could just sit here and I'll figure it out. I just need to get five, because I was worried about the 2-day event, right? I'm like, I gotta get five today and then I'll figure out something tomorrow. And then it was really windy that day. And I was like, if I sit here, I'm out of the wind. If I go battle the wind, I'm going to be battling wind all day and I'm not going to be able to fish. And I was mad, frustrated. So day two, I was just like, all right, let it all go. I said, and I ended up biting. Tony was me out a little bit, my buddy Tony Lamb, like a crankbait bite all up and along like the down timber and stuff and reeds. So that was how I should have grounded out day one. I should have been going around the lake, throwing my crankbait, throwing up into the weeds and trying to find five fish, because that's what I did day two when I found five fish. And I think I only caught 6 or 7 fish the whole day, and I made like 3 laps around this whole lake. But that is like the how you grind it out, not sitting on a spot that you think might have fish. It's like, all right, I know I can get, I'm getting bit on this crankbait. I know I'm getting bit on a little jig up in the reeds. I just might have to cover a ton of water to find the fish. That's kind of like my lesson for learning how to grind it out. So now I do that more than necessarily sit on a spot. Like if I caught a fish somewhere, I try to look for something that's more similar to it, then sit here on this one spot and see if there's more coming back, you know?
Yeah, I agree with that. And I also want to add to that, like for me, I'll put something in my hand that I have confidence with versus something that I'm just throwing because everyone said you should throw that there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like when you see me when you're filming me in Wisconsin. I had the drop shot in my hand.
Yeah,
and then no one else was throwing it. But that, you know, yeah, that's my thing. You know, that's where I find confidence the most in. That's where I catch most of my fish on. And if it wasn't for that, I would have threw something else that I had no confidence in. Probably never caught those fish. You know.
Yeah, I tell guys all the time because guys will ask me. I'm like, man, I'm not throwing anything you don't know about. Like you, if you know me, you fish with me. It's wacky rig. It's Texas rig. It's chatterbait. If it's like a clear rocky lake or river, I'll throw in a square bill or a Ned rig or a fluke. But it's like 5-6 baits at max. And mostly, and that's the big thing that I really learned fishing tournaments. I used to go in, like you said, I would listen to what people would say. People would say, oh, you got to fish this, you know, underwater hump or something. And I'm out there trying to hold position, even though I can't do it. I've never fished this before. I've never done anything like it. I'm trying to figure it out on the day. And instead I started going, all right, I'm going to fish what I like to fish. And I'm just going to figure out where on this lake I can get bit on these baits. And then if I figure that out, then I'll be good. And if I don't, I'm just going to lose, and that's fine.
Yeah, a lesson that I took that I heard a pro say was, you know, figure out lures on fun days and use confidence on tournament days. And I feel like there's a lot of people out there just they'll get luck on a lure and then they'll try to use it that whole month or throughout that whole tournament. You hear it all the time. Oh, they're really biting on this last week. I don't know why they're not eating it this week. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, hey, man. Well, that's another too. Like, the bites change so fast sometimes. Like,
oh, yeah.
We've had that happened at Banner, and it worked in my advantage, but it screwed over a lot of people because there's a lot of people that I talked to at the ramp after the tournament. They're like, yeah, man, I was on them yesterday. Like, you know, I had 80 plus inches or, you know, whatever they had. And then they're like, yeah, but the bite was just gone. And so, like, they the day before, they were really tight to shore. And it was a little colder. I think, like, the water temps were 74, 75. And then on Sunday, it was up to 78 for the water temps. And that little change in the temperature, it moved them out deeper. And that's where I was fishing. Like I said, because all these guys were fishing tight. And I just couldn't do it. I couldn't pitch into the reeds like that, like the way they were doing it. And so I was like, all right, I'll try to fish the edges of these weeds and I'll see if I can make something happen. I just got lucky that the fish kind of moved out there too with, you know, cause everybody else that were trying to fish close were like, I had a hard time finding fish. And me, that was kind of just doing something on everybody else, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, another thing you probably experienced, I experience this sometimes where people get defeated the day before the tournament even starts. Like, not get defeated in a way of where something will happen to them or so like a rod will break or they lose their favorite lure in practice.
Yeah.
And their mindset gets so screwed up in that point. And then they're kind of just screwed for the rest of the tournament. And then you'll see the next day they won't catch anything. It's not because they're not good anglers. They just that I know that because I've had this too, and I'm sure you have that whole year thinking about, well, if I had that lure, I would have caught him already.
Yeah.
You know, that.
Oh yeah, and that's and you're right, man. And that's I think the biggest thing this year that I've been able to do, and, you know, and hopefully I can, you know, keep doing it the rest of the season, but I've not let that little stuff bother me. And it used to bother me. Like everything that I'm bringing up, I've done it, man. Like I, you know, I've done all the wrong things. I've psyched myself. I've overthought on tournament days so much. And it's just like, you know, it's hard because it's so easy to say, you gotta not let it bother, man. But that was a learning curve, man. It took a long time for me to kind of figure that out. And it was a lot of it was watching guys that won. But the guys that won, when they didn't do good, they weren't mad. You know, they were just like, well, didn't work out today. You know?
Yeah. You see it all the time with the pros. Like, they'll get off the stage weighing 5 pounds and have the biggest smile on their face. You know, it just doesn't bother them. They just, hey, I didn't figure it out. You know,
yeah.
And I see that a lot now, especially doing the Paddle and Fin series, where you see all different types of people traveling around the Midwest. And you see the guys that are always up there are always, you know, hey, this is what I did. I kind of just did my own thing here. It just looks like they're having fun. It doesn't look like they're in a tournament at all.
Yeah. You know? And that was the other thing, like, that I would tell people, like, if you're just starting out fishing tournaments or something, like, get comfortable with losing, and get comfortable with the fact that it's like, a lot of it is luck. Like, so at Banner, I was telling you, like, Pootie was fishing Wacky Rig. I think a couple of the guys that were in the top five were all fishing Wacky Rig. Those guys just couldn't find 18 inch plus fish. I kind of randomly got into a couple of 19s. You know, if I don't throw pitch to that right spot at that time, I got a bag of 17s too. And that's the difference. You know what I mean? But it wasn't something I was doing. It wasn't something like, it wasn't because I'm an awesome fisherman and that worked out. It was, no, I just found the right bite today. And so once you kind of are comfortable with that, it's a lot easier to be like, oh, okay, I didn't find the right bite today. And somebody else did. So all right. Like, you know, I think people take it real personally. I know I used to take it real personally of like, oh, I'm not a good angler. I'm not, you know, I'm not up to these guys' levels, you know, blah, blah, blah. You shouldn't be fishing with these guys. And it's not really it, man. You just, you know, it's just one year a day. You didn't figure it out. So once you kind of get comfortable, I love you to fish.
Yeah, I mean, a thing that I've been doing this year that I haven't done in the past is kind of once I'm done with the tournament, I kind of drive away, talk about it for an hour with whoever's on the phone with me, whether it be my cousin or the wife, and then after that, I never think about it again. I don't let it bother me. I don't let it, you know, on to the next one is what I normally say.
Yeah,
whether it's a great tournament or a bad tournament, you know, you gotta have that same mindset for both.
Yeah, it just goes what gets erased. But the thing I like to do, I try to learn something from each event. Like, I always try to go, all right, what could I have done better, or what did I do? Like, especially if it's a good tournament, like, all right, what did I do right, and how do I keep doing that? You know, and so it's real easy to, on the bad ones, be like, I should have done this, I should have done that. I think sometimes people have a good tournament and don't think to learn from it. And like, those are the ones where like, all right, how the heck do this time? What was right? Next tournaments. And that was the thing. I've finally been doing this long enough. Like I said, I started off at a zero, man. You know what I mean? Like I said, I legit had one rod. I was buying used rods off anybody I could just to get, you know, a set of rods. Cause I had one or two rods. I never used a bait caster before when I first started fishing tournaments. So, you know, I was totally green. So, you know, but I thought I was going to be, you know, instantly a winner and stuff. And that wasn't going to be the case. I needed to learn a lot.
Well, we all go through that.
Yeah, man.
Our very first tournament. Oh, man, I'm the best.
I catch fish all the time.
Yeah, I'm going to come out here and crush these people. Yeah.
And it's like, oh, man, these guys are good.
Yeah, we all go through that.
Yeah.
I did the exact opposite of what you did. I kind of went and learned everything before I even entered a tournament. I did a few here and there, but not like this would be my first actual tournament schedule that I'm sticking to. So I mean, I've been fishing my whole life and been taking it seriously for about 8 years, but yeah, I kind of went, learned everything, did everything I could to get better before I felt confident enough to jump into it. And I mean, it's been good so far. So
yeah, man, you're doing pretty good. You're up in the AOI standing, so that's kind of good.
I mean, I'm second in AOI. I hope by this next event I could kind of jump the first. It's on the Fox River, which is a home water.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. That's a good time, man. Get on him, man. Yeah. You know, I know. What were you saying? You learned everything. So, like, when I first started, like, it was a long time ago with kayaking. And, like, at the time, if you had a rudder on your kayak, you were fancy. Like you had a legit kayak. I mean, there was barely like the Hobie was the only drive system available, and all, it was real grassroots at the time. So I was fortunate where I was able to kind of learn and grow with everybody else too. Like not everybody was like now you show up to an event now and these guys, everybody's got their rig decked out. You got to know what you're doing, man. You can't show up in a Menard special like I did with two rods and think you're going to do anything.
Yeah, that was definitely my experience. I think 4 or 5 years ago when I got my first kayak, it was just a pedal. It was the FS12T from Bass Pro Shop.
Yeah.
And I mean, these guys already had motors and everything else by that time.
Legit. My first kayak ever was from Menards, and I got it, and then I hooked up with all these guys. So I had moved to DuPage County, started fishing with, there was a website called DuPage Anglers, met up with a bunch of guys, and then those guys started the KBL thing. And as soon as I did that, I'm like, oh, I gotta get a real kayak because this isn't the right setup. So,
yeah.
And then I went through a couple different kayaks getting set up. And then finally, you know, I think 2 years ago, 3 years ago now, I got the motor from Alan. Thanks to Alan. Shouts out, man. And then after that, it's been a lot more. I've had a lot more success just kind of being able to, you know, get around the lakes more, fish, see more water, hold position better and stuff like that. So
now this has been a topic of mine. Now we're talking motors, kayaks, yes, and everything. Is what does your mindset change now that you know you have all the stuff you want versus if you were to put yourself in a kayak with no fish finder, no motor, no nothing, do you feel you could still do better or does your mindset kind of go down?
No, my mindset goes way down, man. I definitely I say this all the time, and every time I leave something at the house, and usually it's when I'm fun fishing. Like when I go to a tournament, I bring everything, or like I bring the whole setup that I have. But when I'm fun fishing, a lot of times sometimes I leave my graph off, or sometimes I won't take the motor. And every time I just regret it. I'm like, just bring it, because even if you don't end up using it, it's there if you need it. And I think that's something that I would tell people, is like whatever your setup is going to be for tournaments, that's how you fish the majority of the time. You know what I mean? You want to be, it's kind of like you want to have a comfort level with it and know everything. And so like for me specifically, and this is a good example of like a mindset thing. Like today I was out fishing a spot and I couldn't use my motor, and it's not like it's a big deal, but for me, I go, the motor is like a little bit of advantage. You know what I mean? If I maybe use the motor, really, it was like control bead edges and come apart. That's my favorite thing to do, my bread and butter. And because of the motor, I can do it. So when I go to a spot and I really can't use it, like, look, you just have this tool. It's just extra weight that you can't use. Find a spot that you can use this in and make use of it so that way you have, you know, a slight little advantage, a little ability to cover more water. Otherwise, I'm just there paddling like everybody else, man, and it's tough. So that's how I am. I don't know. What do you think, man?
I kind of feel the same way. You know, I go into, you know, a fun day of fishing the same way I go into a tournament day of fishing. I kind of try to challenge myself to catch the five biggest fish I can find. And kind of like a always practicing for a tournament scenario.
Yeah.
But at the same time, try to keep that mindset of learning something also. You know, I just did last week. I threw a spook for the first time in years. In years. I mean, I've thrown one before.
Yeah.
But that was one where in a regular scenario, if I was actually in a tournament, I probably would have never tied that on. You know, but I went out there and kind of just, I'm not in a tournament. Let's just try this out. And it ended up being the deal, you know.
Yeah.
But, that works, man. I mean, I definitely made sure I had the motor and the graph and everything before the season started, just because of that mindset of everybody else has this. I feel like I'm probably going to need this. Now, the graph, I don't use that much.
Yeah, no, actually, I don't use – I have like a side scan and everything, and I honestly just use it for temp and depth. That's it.
That's kind of the same thing. I'm trying to get better with it because I know it helps.
Yeah,
it helps if you know what you're doing. And I just need to get better at that. I gotten so used to not having it, just going and just looking at the water versus look at the water, look at the clarity, look at it. Is there grass? Is there rock? I kind of got into that, so used to that, because I never had a graph until this year, you know?
Yeah. Well, and I think it's one thing, it's on my list of things to do, but my style is I fish shallow. I fish rivers. I fish a lot of choked out weeded lakes. I mean, you know, like I fish Bussy a lot and Patterson and everything like that. So there's not a lot of like things to be graphing. So I think that's why it's not in my wheelhouse, you know, to be doing that. So, you know, I would love to learn more about it, but for me, just like most of the local lakes I fish, I don't need to do it, which is, you know, which is nice. So.
But yeah, I've noticed that too, but I will say I was on the Fox today, and if I didn't have that slide imaging on, ooh, I would have never found those fish. They were kind of just laying off, and then there was a couple chunk rock here, a boulder there, just in the middle. And yeah, I would have never stopped at that place today, but just throwing that out there a little bit. But
yeah, no, I 100% agree with you. Like, I know that it helps the guys that can really use it. Like, it's just another one of those things. If you know how to do it and you have that advantage over the other competitors, you know, it's more chances you're going to win. So trying to is definitely plus for me. It's just I've just left it to the side.
I have mine really. Well, you've seen my setup where I have it literally right in line with. I can see it as I'm going straight.
Yeah,
you know, and I still just I'm looking up at the water more than I'm looking at the graph. It's something I have to get used to, but yeah, for me, it's more about I'm more about just fish the moment, fish what you can and what you can see, and
yeah,
and it seems like you're the same way.
Yeah, I'm definitely a structure guy, and specifically like weed edges is kind of my jam, but it is nice having the graph for like if I see like a weed edge that's off like a 10-foot drop. And then a weed edge is like to a 4-foot drop or something like that. I'm going to fish that 10-foot section because I know those bigger fish are going to be cruising in and out, you know, up and out of that area to feed. So that's the kind of thing, you know, it definitely helps me narrow down what part of the weeds I want to fish, you know, or if I see them just under the surface, I know I can throw a swim jig in there and kind of, you know, tick the tops of them and stuff. But I, as far as like, you know, picking a boulder out, it's like, I'm not that good, man.
No, I'm not really that in tune with it either. I just kind of got lucky today on that one, just having to look down and see it.
Yeah, more than, that's how you learn it, right? You see like one thing, and also you're like, oh, that's what that was. That was kind of cool.
Yep. Yeah.
The only time it actually really worked out for me, I did the KBF National Championship once. I only wanted to do it once because I wanted the experience of it. It was awesome. But I was fishing this deeper section, and I saw like a deep channel, you know, on the clearly on the graph, which is like the first time I'd ever really seen that. And I seen all these, you know, fish shooting out of it. And so I threw a drop shot in there, and sure enough, I got bit. And that was the only time I was like, oh, that's how you use, you know, down imaging and side imaging. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, I feel like it's definitely more those southern lakes that where it really, really helps, those ledge lakes and more of that versus, I mean, but now you see guys with the live scope on the and fishing shallow like that grass is
way over my head, man.
Yep,
I'm not there yet. I still got a little 5-inch screen.
I got lucky. I got the 7 that it was on sale for like $500.
Oh, nice.
That's good. Yeah, originally it was like I think an $800-$900 setup. And I got lucky that it was just on sale that week.
Yeah, man. Hey, you got to jump on that.
Oh, I did.
I think I paid $400-$500 for my 5-inch screen when I got it. So yeah, 7-inch for that price would be nice.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think we're in agreement here. The more stuff you have on the kayak, the more confidence you get, whether it helps you or not, or even whether if you know how to use it or not, you know?
Yeah, so it's just like, you know, I bring my anchor out all the time and I never use my anchor all that much, but it's like the one day I know I'm going to need it, or if I'm going to like get a spot, especially in a tournament where I just want to hold a position for a little bit, you know, it's there if I need it, you know, but 98% of the time it's just underneath my seat and never gets moved. So
now, did you use the anchor a lot more before the motor, or?
Yeah, before the motor I use it a lot. Yeah. So like I would do similar things. I would fish the weed edges, but what I would do is I would anchor to hold my spot and then fish it and then move up, anchor. And now I can just kind of set the motor in a low, you know, just a little troll, and I can just kind of work my way around.
Yeah, that's
much easier.
That's something I noticed too. Now I'm reaching more for the motor versus the anchor.
Yeah. I like it for like getting the spots and then, you know, kind of working areas, but yeah. What were you saying?
Yeah, no, I'm disagreeing with you, man.
Okay. Like, gotta love the motors, man.
Oh yeah. Pretty soon everyone's kind of need them. Just to compete.
Yeah.
You know,
I do see some advantages with the drive though, man. There's sometimes where the motor just isn't getting me through things. And, you know, my friend will have a drive, you know, especially the Hobie drive, and they're just, you know, chopping through everything. I'm like, oh, that would be much easier than trying to spin my motor in reverse to see if I can kick these weeds off and doing all that crap.
Oh yeah, definitely. We've been in for about an hour now, and I know you probably want to get some sleep for the tournament. You probably have to wake up super early.
Yeah, right? Super early, man. I got about an hour round trip to get to the check-in and then to my launch. Jeez. So it's gonna be rough, man.
Yeah. So I'll let you go. Any final words or thoughts or any sponsors you want to plug?
Yeah, definitely. You know, shout out to Rocktown Adventures. They're my only real sponsor. I'm on their fishing team with Brian and all those guys. So Rodney and Jason and a couple of us. Sorry if I'm forgetting your names, but we haven't been able to meet up like we wanted to because of the COVID stuff. But you know, there, Rocktown's a great, great little spot there in Rockford, selling kayaks and stuff. And I've been thankful that they've supported me, and they make me look real good in their jersey when I'm holding up some checks. So hopefully I can keep holding those up the rest of the season. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. All right, man. It was a pleasure talking to you. I don't know, you know, we kind of went in and out of the mindset of everything, but there's a lot there, and audio was good. So we're all good on that.
If I was going to be in, and thanks for having me on, man. I know it took us a while to kind of link up, but much appreciated. Yeah. And I really do. I've been enjoying the segment, man. I've been listening to it, you know, because I knew I was going to be on, and everybody you've had on that's kind of having some conversations. I take little pieces from it, you know, even if it's one or two things, you know, just something to learn and take with me. Hopefully, somebody could take something from me. I don't know.
I think the best thing the one thing definitely to take away from this one will be fish the moment. Something that Ike always says, and something that you're saying, something that I definitely need to work on, but always try to do, it is kind of fish the moment. Let the fish tell you what they want versus you trying to force them and it not working out.
Absolutely, man. Just fish the moment, relax. Remember, it's just fishing. It's fun.
Yep. All right, man. You have a good night, and go win tomorrow.
See what I can do, man. Hopefully. Give me a check. That'd be nice.
Yep. Have a good one, man. All right, guys. It's been another segment of the Mindset Podcast. Special guest was Titus Dominguez. And just want to say, have a good one, guys. Enjoy the...
Thanks for tuning in to another killer episode on Paddle and Fin. Don't forget to go check out our website at paddle, the letter N, and fin.com. Don't forget to check out the YouTube channel at Paddle and Fin. Got a question, comment, want to hear from a future guest on a future episode? Feel free to email us at paddle, the letter N, and fin@gmail.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media at Paddle and Fin. on Facebook and Instagram. Shout out to our show supporters, Angler. The Angler button and app just makes for a better time on the water and creates a virtual logbook for every fishing outing out on the water. Shout out to Rocktown Adventures, located in Northern Illinois, for all your kayaking, camping, and hiking needs. Shout out to Jigmasters Jigs. When in doubt, get the jig out. Go to jigmasters.com.